What are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdow, C70 at the bat. At C70 with me, the co-host, Alan Medlock, A Medlock 1. If you are a subscriber to Meet Me at Mutual on iTunes, you saw that we had a bonus episode go up last night, early this morning, that's relating to the Greatest Cardinal Moments Tournament that's going to be happening starting next week. So I recommend you get a listen to that if you haven't already, and if you're not subscribing to the show, go ahead and do that over at iTunes or wherever you listen to the show so that you can get podcasts all the time, so you don't have to worry about, you know, finding a link or anything like that. Always can rate and review us. We appreciate that when you do it, and helps other people find our show. We'd like to think that you'd like, if you're listening to us, you'd like for other people to listen to us, but maybe not. I don't know. Let's get all that out of the way before we start talking about the Cardinals, because, well, honestly, that sometimes that's more interesting stuff than what the Cardinals are giving us on the field. Alan, let's just get into it today, and let's just start with what happened even before the game today. The Cardinals make another roster move, and let's be honest. I mean, we're getting really close to the end of that 6 weeks period that John Mozeliak talked about at that infamous press conference now. And if nothing else, there have been roster moves, roster churn. Some of those, like today, are more dealing with injuries, but there have been plenty of changes. Dexter Fowler comes off the DL. Jose Martinez goes to Memphis. A lot of people expecting that to be Randall Grichuk instead of Martinez, and I think, you know, we were talking a little bit beforehand, you were probably one of those as well.
Oh, absolutely. It really surprised me. I thought that the next move, and I think that even I had heard that on one of the radio shows, I think it was Langosh, by the way, this week, that said that with the next move, when Grichuk goes down, it's going to be an extended stay. They didn't fulfill what they really wanted to do with him. They kind of had to move him to AAA quicker than they expected. And then Fowler getting hurt kind of forced their hand and getting to the big leagues. And when Fowler came back, it was going to be the logical fit that he goes down, and that Martinez has played that role of the fourth outfielder pretty well, and I can agree with that. You know, I think he does his job, hits well off the bench, and I thought it worked out perfectly. Give a guy a chance to go down there and play a little bit and try to figure out some of these issues that, you know, he's had, which could be here at his last run, Grichuk, that is, here as his possible last run as a Cardinal, and just didn't do it. So it was kind of a head-scratcher, and I kind of wondered if there was maybe some correlating move that was going to happen, you know, if not today, sometime this weekend, which may go down, may not, I don't know. But, you know, it was very odd how today was handled.
And I guess my only, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I hadn't really given it much thought about, I didn't expect Dexter Fowler to be back this quickly. I had not heard, the last I had heard, he couldn't even put a shoe on.
And it kind of made sense just to wait until after the break. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So I was really surprised that they activated him, and obviously it turned out to be a good thing since he hit a home run tonight and helped the team. Well, he didn't help them win because they didn't, but he did help the team. And so I didn't really give much thought about what this would be. My feeling has always been on Grichuk, and I could be completely wrong, obviously, but my feeling was that once they weren't going to do the Memphis thing again, that if he came up, it was the sink or swim. This was, you know, make your case. This is your last shot. And I'm not sure that they've, you know, and I think that's part of why he played tonight. We'll get into that a little bit too. And I may, like I said, that may just be my impression of things, but it kind of felt like they're going to give Randall Grichuk some rope up here in the big leagues now. And if he does something with it, great. And if he doesn't do something with it, then there's going to be another option. Now, you know, it could be. It could be that they, you know, kept him around this time because maybe they've got a trade in the works and he's part of it. Maybe they're going to bring somebody else up, you know, over the All-Star break and send him down there too. You know, who knows? I don't know. But yeah, you know, I do feel like there's that, you know, there was that sink or swim thing in there, and I think this is what they're saying is like, okay, this is your last shot.
Yeah, that may very well be the case. I don't know. It was weird, and you kind of touched on something that I haven't thought about, which the next players that switch spots being Memphis and St. Louis may be Bader and Grichik. I don't know. Now Bader's kind of the same player that Grichik is, but he may have finally earned a shot. I never thought Bader would make it up here. I think you and I agree on that. I thought that he'd be part of a trade package somewhere. So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be curious. This weekend will probably tell a lot.
Yeah, it probably will. You know, we'll just see how things go. And that gives the Cardinals, you know, basically 4 days then next week without anything to start really getting the roster set for the second half. And, you know, I know that the trade market probably really won't kick in until after the All-Star game, especially since it's kind of like it was with, I think it was Cincinnati or San Diego a couple of years ago, where they wanted to keep their team together until the All-Star game, and then they traded people because the All-Star game was in their ballpark and they didn't want to have, you know, those players being part of their team, blah, blah, blah. You know, it could be that the Marlins start opening for business Wednesday, Thursday maybe, and if that's the case, that could really start things jumping quickly. So we'll have to see. You're right. I still think that Bader is one of those things that gets moved, but being that, you know, going into the season, we thought they'd be adding a piece here for a stretch run, and he seemed to be a good trade chip. Now, if they're making a deal, it's for a kind of a core piece, and we'll talk about that maybe here in a little bit as well. And then he could still go for that, but other than that, he feels like, you know, he's got, what, 17 home runs? I think he hit another one tonight. Which is like the most in the whole Cardinal organization. It's getting to the point where he's gonna have to get a call. It feels like trying to figure out how you play him every day is a different story. We've got enough issues with playing time right now, so I don't know how that works. But he's getting to where he needs to be playing. Feels like, at least, you know, from this non-prospect follower eyes, that he needs to be up to the big leagues pretty soon. Cardinals, again, we talked about it a little bit today. Fowler comes up, they put him third spot in the lineup, and Tommy Pham sits, which of course gets everybody worked up on Twitter in a lot of places. And honestly, you get that because, you know, Pham has been a spark plug for this team. There's no doubt about that. And the problem is, again, that, you know, that kind of plays into that idea that, you know, Tommy Pham's not getting a fair shake from Mike Matheny. When he plays, he doesn't play this first game when Grichik's back or Fowler's back, but Grichik does. I mean, what do you think? I mean, is that what it was? Was it a personalities thing or something else to it?
Well, I think that it was the path of least resistance to get Fowler in center field and to give Pham a day off, because he hasn't had a full day off for almost 3 weeks. So it kind of makes sense. Now, the first thing that anybody's going to say is, hey, he's got a full week off next week, you know, one of those type of situations. But, you know, a day here, a day here, and you know that Matheny isn't going to wear him out. You know, one thing I do want to mention, I don't think the Pham to center field thing is going to happen as long as Fowler's here. You know, I think Fowler's going to be your center fielder. They paid a lot of money, and they sold him to come here on the fact that he was going to play center field. That was the deal. I don't think that's going to happen. I know that was a lot of the talk that, oh, now he comes back. This is the way that Matheny's going to do it. He's going to push it off a day. I don't think that's the case, because I don't think that's going to be a factor. I was hoping he would play. I mean, tonight was one of those games where, you know, I've said this on here before, that's the one thing with Matheny that really, really irks me. I give him a pass on just about everything else, is there's no urgency in games. Like, but I really thought they needed to sweep this series, and they had to go pedal to the metal to finish strong. And I felt like it was another game where you kind of laid it up a little bit and didn't play your best lineup, which I was really hoping the best lineup would play all three games this weekend, just to kind of send you off on a high note, reach 500, and, you know, see where you go from there. No one's running away with the division yet. I know we've said this 3 weeks in a row, but now Milwaukee's starting to play a little bit better. So, you know, I don't know. That's the lack of urgency has always irritated me in these kind of situations, because I really thought Bam should have been playing.
And that's fair. I mean, you're right. The Cubs are at 500. The Cardinals had swept this series. They would be at 500 at the All-Star break. That's not going to happen now. The best they can do is be two games under. But, you know, in theory, you sweep this series. You're at 500. You could be tied for second, you know. But you're not going to. And you're right. So they're not putting him out there. That being said, I will tell you, if I was Mike Matheny, if I had any political sense, let's put it that way, I would have played Fam tonight and then rested him tomorrow, because it would have shown, you know, it wasn't immediate. Because I think that's what people are jumping at, you know. They would have jumped at it tomorrow too, but it would at least been able to defend it a little bit. And now again, Tommy Pham might match up better against Zach Wheeler, who's going tomorrow, than Jacob DeGrom. I don't know all that. It's very possible. I know that, you know, Randall Grichuk, I think, was like 2 for 5. I mean, it's small sample size, and you discount it, except for things like Mike Matheny, I think, uses these kind of things at times. He was like 2 for 5 with a homer off of DeGrom. And then, again, tonight, look, Grichuk threw somebody out and hit a home run. I mean, it was a good thing he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think that Mike sometimes brings some of the stuff on himself when he could have rested Tommy Pham tomorrow or, you know, Sunday. Especially if the Cardinals had lost tonight anyway, then you could say, look, we can't get to 500. We'll rest Pham here, get him going on Sunday, and then we'll take the break. But I don't think it was a – I'm less likely to buy into this Matheny's guys thing. I think Matheny has reasons for this. I don't know that he explains them very well, and I don't know that they're very good reasons. I'm not going to argue that.
Yes, that's well put. Yeah.
Yeah, but he does seem to have reasons for this kind of stuff. So I don't know. It would have been nice. I mean, we did see, you know, Pham grounded out in his at bat tonight. I don't think that means much coming off the bench. And there were times, you know, I mean, again, this was an interesting game tonight with the fact that the Cardinals hit, you know, 4 solo home runs off of Jacob DeGrom and had their chances. But, you got, let's talk, we're going to shift a little bit of gears here and talk about Carlos Martinez. And I know, I'm not sky is falling, this is a problem, he's not an ace, I'm not any of that. But it's a little disconcerting to see him come out, especially, Sunday night, he went against the Nationals. Bryce Harper hit two-run home runs off of him, off of pitches that looked pretty good. They were down. Harper did a good job, and Bryce Harper's, you know, he's kind of good. So, you know, you're not surprised at that as much. I mean, you'd like to see him do better against Max Scherzer, but, okay, you get what happened. But then you come out tonight, you know, and, I mean, have nothing in the first inning. You kind of got a little bit lucky with Grichuk throwing somebody out to only get away with one run. You give up another run. The Cardinals come back and tie it. You immediately give up 2 more runs. Cardinals come back and tie it again. You give up another run. I mean, that's tough to get out of, to see out of your ace.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, you're right. It's kind of a wash there with the Scherzer game, just because we both know that Washington's real. I think we all know that Washington's really good. And you're probably not going to beat Washington. Knew they couldn't get the swept. You know, they didn't want to build momentum, and they've got Scherzer on the mound. It's not tough to get motivated to win one of those games. That's one of those you can kind of give them a pass to. As much as I wanted that to be a 3-2 game, 2-1, 3-2 game, most of those matchup of aces never turn out to be as good as they're advertised. That's right. One you can kind of throw out. But to take that next step to be an ace, he's got to win tonight. You know, he's got to shut those innings down. I understand you're going to have bad starts, but, you know, Chris Carpenter had bad starts all the time, and he didn't have the stuff that Martinez does and would always keep you in the game and battle. I guess you could say that, you know, when it was tied, and then give up the homers. But, I mean, that's a lineup he needs to shut down. I mean, he needs to shut down, and they've got to win those games. And that may be, where everything seems to be spinning the tires a little bit, that may just be a factor of, you know, he just hadn't taken that next step yet to be elite, but he's still in the very good, you know, that very good tier. Still, he's going to have to learn to win those games, and especially for a team like this that needs him to go out and win those games, where you never know what you're going to get offensively with him, and you never know what you're going to get defensively with him. Mm-hmm. And you know, it does get disheartening when you come out and have those kind of laying those eggs and starts, and I'm just ready for that to kind of progress and move to where he just flat beats teams.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his game log, and you know, he gave up four. I mean, just looking since June, he gave up four against the Reds in 6 1/3. He gave up, you know, the five last time against Washington. He gave up the five tonight, and he's only gone. Well, he went 6.1 that one in Cincinnati, but the rest of them are 6 and 5, except for the shutout against the Phillies. So that was obviously a great game, you know, 9 innings, 11 strikeouts. But, and I don't want to say you want to see that every time out, because that's asking way too much. But that kind of game, well, I mean, you know, you pull up Max Scherzer, or you pull up Clayton Kershaw, or you pull up somebody like Madison Bumgarner's game log, and they're going to have games where they gave up 4 runs or 5 runs, but there's not going to be very many of them. There's only going to be, you
sure,
know, one a month, one every 8, you know, one every 2 months, you know, something like that. Not 3, you know, not 2 back to back, not 3 in a 6 week span. So yeah, I think it just very well may that Martinez needs to still take that final step. Go ahead.
And that's the thing, is you bring up Scherzer, because I think Scherzer's the best in baseball. I think he's surpassed Kershaw. Well, his kryptonite is home runs, and just because he challenges so many people. So those things are going to happen, but now he finds a way to win. And that was what I liked. I know that you and I had spoken, you know, off the air a little bit about this last, or, you know, after the game, that it was fun to watch that game on Sunday night, even in a loss, because you can see what Martinez can become in Scherzer. You know, because Scherzer was wild. He had a hard time controlling the strike zone, gave up a ton of home runs. But he still gives up a lot of home runs. He just doesn't give up anything more than solo shots anymore. So it was cool to see that. So hopefully that's the progression that we can count on.
Well, and you look at Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer's 32. You look at Scherzer at 25, which is his age 25 season, which is where Martinez was. You know, he was pitching for the Tigers in the American League, so take that, you know, put that into whatever it's worth. But he was 12-11, had a 3.5 ERA, you know, struck out 184, walked 70, gave up 20 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was good, but he wasn't Max Scherzer good. I mean, he didn't really turn into Max Scherzer until about 2013 when he's 28.
True.
So, I mean, if you're looking, you know, I mean, and he had a, you know, 4.43 ERA in 11. You know, 374 and 12. I mean, he was winning games, 15 wins, 16 wins, but he didn't really turn the corner until he was about 28. And, I mean, that's just basic stat lines now. I mean, there could be more to it. I don't know, but just glancing at it. So, I mean, if you're where Martinez is here now, you know, in another year, 2 years, 3 years, it may take him to become this dominant, you know, top five in baseball type of pitcher that we think he can be. But there's still a learning curve, there's no doubt, at the big league level.
Yeah. I've never even looked at the comparison, but that makes a ton of sense. I mean, you know, because I wouldn't say give it up, but, you know, Scherzer's playing with his third organization, only one is a free agent. Hmm. You know, so, you know, people saw that, hey, he can be a star, but there was a learning curve involved. So you may have hit the nail on the head with that.
Yeah, and I mean, I just, like I say, even for what it's worth, this is Carlos Martinez's second All-Star appearance at age 25. Scherzer didn't have any until that 28-29 season. So, you know, there's, if you wanted to really get into it, and I mean, you talk to Joe Schwartz and stuff like that to really get into the comparisons on the what they have, what they can do. But if you just look at stat line and history, you know, there's no doubt, I would say, you know, Martinez is on a path to be that kind of pitcher, but he's just not there yet. And that's that's fine, because there's going to be times for most of the time he goes out there, you're going to have a good chance to win. Hopefully, as his career progresses, you're going to go out there and 95% of the time, you're going to have a good chance to win. And those times where you don't are going to be so rare, they're going to be, you know, headline news.
Yeah, there's no way you don't want to build your staff around him. I think any organization in baseball will take him, we'll see how it goes. I don't think there was warning signs. I think it's just, you're right, I think that is just the learning curve, and they're just desperate for wins right now, and it's glaring when he doesn't get one, or it's disappointing when he doesn't keep him in the game. And to be honest, even in a situation where he gave up the as many runs as he did tonight, they were still in it. You know, they were still in it right until the ninth. So, you know, may have done his job, just may not have been as effective as we would like.
Going back to that press conference, back in June, day before that, the Cardinals were 6 games under 500. They're 4.5 games out of first place in the division. You jump forward to today, which and we're at, you're 4 games under 500, so you've improved by 2 games. You're 6 games back, so you've gotten actually worse in relation to the division. It's really just a lot of tread and water over 6 mm-hmm. weeks, it feels like. We talk about this a lot, but it's becoming harder, it feels to me. Again, you look 6 games back, like you said, Milwaukee is not only playing better, but they're getting a little confidence, I would think. They may go out and add a piece. I don't know if they will or not, because it's kind of ahead of schedule. But, the Cubs still haven't clicked, and they may not. But it's very difficult to say, hey, go get something, when this team just doesn't seem to want to put anything together.
Yeah, you're right. We're right at a month that the press conference and the shifting of the coaching staff happened. Haven't seemed to get much better. You know, they've had spurts both in and out of being good and looking really poor. So you just don't really know. Now, no one's really taking the division, and I know that Milwaukee, yes, is playing better, and it's down to 6, and it's down to 8 in the wild card, which the wild card is shrunk a little bit, but I kind of figured it would, because those West teams are going to beat each other up. That's going to happen. What I do worry about, and I say this, it's kind of bad to say this right as the first half's come to an end, I just don't hope they haven't waited too long. I really thought something may have changed before now to really, really spark the club, or to really shake up clubhouse and kind of go that direction. I think they've tried some incremental stuff to work, and it hasn't. It hasn't improved them a whole lot. So, I don't know. I mean, I kind of hate that. I can go day to day on this, to where I feel like, okay, now they look like they're kind of putting stuff together. Well, now they didn't. But, Carpenter's second. We wanted Voit to get more at bats. Carpenter's second. Carpenter has committed 3 errors since he moved to second base. He had 4 all of last year. And the thing is, they've all come around to score. You know, one of those that's just the circumstances just kind of stink on that, just to get bats involved. I think there needs to be a shakeup. I'm not necessarily – I know we'll get into this in a little bit. I would be elated if they went out and got a bat. But I would also be excited to see a major promotions, if you're going to bring a Bader up, if you're going to bring give a Flaherty a shot, which I'm not sure that's going to happen until later. But, Weaver's up. Weaver's not going to stay in the bullpen the whole time. I would rather watch those guys lose than watch the stale product that a lot of these guys put on the field now. And I know that we've kind of said this ad nauseum, but just something definitely does need to change. I don't know how much longer they need to wait to see that.
Yeah, and I mean, some of that is gotta be just waiting on other teams too. Like you said,
I would think, yeah, I would think so.
If you're looking at trying to trade with Florida, I mean Miami, it shows how old I am. I remember the Florida Marlins. If you're trying to trade with Miami, and they just aren't going to budge until next week at the earliest, a lot of those teams, some they have to figure out where they're going to be. Some of those have to figure out, if they want to hold out to the last minute to make a deal so they can get the best options. I think somewhat it's kind of like free agency. We always say, well, they ought to go sign, X player. Well, X player has to agree to that deal too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two party system here, and as much as Mo and Gersh may want to make a deal, and I don't think that they do. I think that they're cautious enough to know that they need to. I don't think they're calling people four times a day trying to get them to change their mind or anything. But even if they were, I mean, they've got to have another party to say, you know, and they're gonna not likely to do that right now. And you know, that being said, they can make a deal tonight and prove me wrong. I don't know, but it feels like this is, it always does. It's after the All-Star break, those 2 weeks after the All-Star break, that's when stuff starts moving. But if you, you know, if you look at, I'd have to pull it up and see, but I doubt Mo's ever made a deal before, you know, of this kind of thing before like July 24th or anything.
Yeah, there was, I mean, this is one, I should probably have this in front of me. He made one June move that was big, and he just kind of set the market. And I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
But this is one of those years where I thought something early would happen. But you're probably right. I mean, everybody's involved right now. It's, you know, it's weird. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm getting itchy. I say getting. I've been there for a little while just to see what direction they'd be planning on moving. And, whether that is to go all in and get somebody or to just start some promotion to get guys looks. Either way, I'm fine with that. I just don't want it to be as boring as it's been.
Actually, I just pulled up my trade history on Mo's spreadsheet. He made a trade on July 26th. That was Anthony Reyes to Cleveland. That was no big deal. He made it on, that was 08. 7/22/09 was Duncan to Boston for Julio Lugo. 2 days later, the holiday trade came on July 24th, which, so I guess that was actually right, kind of right there. Ludwig deal was on 7/31. The Colby Rasmus deal was on 7/27.
That was later than I thought it was.
Yeah. The Rafael Furcal deal was 7/31 that year.
Was it? It still was. I thought that went after the break for some, or after the deadline for some
It went
reason.
Right up to it, I think. I think
okay.
It went right at the deadline. Zach Cox for Edward Mojica, 7/31. You got a 7/30 is Sepchinski to Cleveland. 7/30 is James Ramsey for Justin Masterson. 7/31 is the Alan Craig trade. 7/24 is the Steve Cishek. 7/31, Jonathan Broxton. 7/31, Zach Duke. 7/30 is the Brandon Moss. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much that. I mean, it's that last week of July. They don't make moves earlier than that. I'm trying to... He did make the move, maybe the one you're thinking about if you're going back far enough. He made the trade for Mark DeRosa on 6/27.
I think that was the one, as a matter of fact, because I thought it was with Cleveland, yep. To be honest with you.
And that was early. I want to say that one had to do... There was real need there. I don't remember what it was. Of course, DeRosa then goes and breaks his wrist when he gets here, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, he gets hurt. So, right.
Yeah. That seems to be the only deals that he's made, you know, that inside season that are... And really of any significance. They're pretty much that last week of July. So, again, you know, Michael Gersh is in dealing with this now, but Mo is going to have a real strong hand, especially this year. So, I just can't imagine they're going to do anything before then. Although, to be fair, they're in a selling position, a little bit more of a selling position now, which is not a place that they've been before either. So, it may change things.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And that kind of gives me a little bit of hope, to be honest with you, when you went back over your trade history. I was just looking at the schedule while you were going over that. They've got 8 with the Cubs. They've got 7 with the Brewers. And they have 7 each with the Reds and Pirates. You know, that's just playing interdivision, playing well in the division may get you back into this more than we think. You know, there's a scary... That's a homestand. Okay, they do have one more. The road could hurt them in the second half, mm-hmm. just because they're all three cities.
Right.
That's that one's not as bad. San Diego, Tampa Bay, but just kind of looking at the schedule to get that how they can kind of. It's not ominous. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know me, I'll never give up hope until the very end. But I'd just like to see some kind of movement. Maybe it's just more out of my boredom than anything.
And that's fair. I mean, I think we get that way as fans. But and you're right. You can make up some ground with those games coming up in the second half with Cubs and Milwaukee. But the flip side of that is, if you don't win them, and right now it's kind of, you know, you don't know that they would, you're going to start digging yourself an even farther hole.
Oh, sure. You come right back on the road to Pittsburgh, New York, and Chicago. That could be pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, because if you lose, you know, you don't really worry. I mean, I don't want to say you don't worry about the Mets because you want to win, but they're not a double loss. You know what I'm saying? You don't fall doubly back on that. You could lose to the Mets and the other people lose. But you lose 2 or 3 to Pittsburgh, you go in and lose 2 or 3 to the Cubs in that first week afterwards. With the Rockies and the Diamondbacks coming into Bush that last week of July, yeah. It's difficult for you to say that you're going to believe in this team right then. I think that's when you're really going to say, nope, we're going to, you know, Lance Lynn, we'll trade you off, we'll trade off, you know, if someone O can bring anything right now, which is a different story. You know, maybe you look at a Rosenthal, maybe you package something big and you go, I don't know, but it feels like that's going to be a situation. Maybe a key that series with the Cubs just may be the biggest key series.
You may be right. Yeah, you may be exactly right. I knew that the road was going to be tough for them because it was going to be you know, all multi cities, and that was pretty big. I mean, to come in, I don't have a lot of faith that they can win 2 out of 3 from both of those, and in between win 3 out of 4. You know, versus the Mets as is right now. I just don't feel that way, and you know. That goes south real quick, and you're probably right. We're probably not talking about adding. We're probably talking about subtracting, which in a way may make them better. You know, yeah. I'm not convinced that that's not the case either. But yeah, that would be pretty pivotal right after the All-Star break.
And to be fair, that if they do have a rough outing, it may give them the impetus to make a trade that doesn't necessarily impact this year as much. But Well, let's transition, use that to transition. You know, the rumor this week, or even today, that the Cardinals were looking at Josh Donaldson. Their initial tweet was more that they were looking at him, and there hadn't been any formal talks, which meant basically nothing, because they're looking at a lot of people. I bet they're looking at Mike Trout, too, you know.
Yeah, you're interested in him. You and I are looking at going to MLB Network, but we haven't just gotten into those talks.
Yeah, that's right. I'm, you know, looking forward to that. But, you know, after the day progressed, there seemed to be a little bit more to it, that there, you know, maybe are more than just idle curiosity there. And Donaldson's been a guy you and I have talked about before. It's kind of an interesting situation. I know we've talked about it before, but where are you currently, given where the Cardinals are at, given where Donaldson's season at, where are you at with regards to bringing him in?
I would definitely like to bring a bat, especially a bat that can play next year. You know, and roll the dice from there. The caveat being with Donaldson is, I would assume you have to give up a Jericho or a Wong, just basically out of playing time issues, I would think, which I'm not so certain I would want to give up on either one of those guys right now. I am also foaming at the mouth to just get somebody big in the middle of that order just to see how much that would make a difference. But, you know, I kind of ride the fence on who I would want to get rid of. I'm not as in love with prospects as much as others are, because a lot of times that can blow up in your face. I think the love of prospects has kind of put them in the situation that they're in, to where it just kind of seems like they're stuck in first gear. So I could see moving some of those guys. On a selfish front, I'd like to see Donaldson in just for the change, just for the built-in enthusiasm, and, you know, deal with what comes with that later. What do I necessarily think that's the smart move? I don't know. I kind of lean more toward the no. But, you know, selfishly for me, I'd like to see him bring somebody in.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the tweet. Here it is. Brendan Schaefer put out today, and I thought it was very interesting. And his tweet was, in 4 to 5 years, could
be
team in the NL Central. And basically it was, you know, the prospect at Sierra, Bader, Bolt, Piscotty, DeJong, Delvin Perez, Kelly Wong as the lineup, and then Carlos, Reyes, Flaherty, Alcantara, and Weaver as the rotation. Could that win the NL Central? Now, anything could.
Yeah.
And right now it's running 56% yes, 44% no. Not knowing what the rest of the division looks like, but, in 4 to 5 years, but that's not... I mean, it's not a lineup that just overwhelms. I mean, there's some good places in there, and if Delvin Perez is what we think he's going to be, he's probably not hitting sixth in that lineup. But, it's like we've talked about so much. There's so many complementary pieces. You know, you've got – it doesn't hurt you to trade three or four of those to get a proven impact guy.
Exactly. Well, a little bit of background on that poll. Brendan and I were kind of going back and forth this afternoon, and I told him, I said, hey, I want to see you try something. I said, I know you get these suggestions all the time. I said, in your next poll, put this lineup together, and I sent everybody, and I'd kind of forgotten about Reyes. I said, put that on there and see if the judging public thinks that this can win a pennant in 3 to 5 years. And I kind of went back and forth on the lineup that I gave him because, and really, Fowler and Molina will still be there on the cusp of that. And he said, well, let's do this. He said, let's just do it. And then he came up with that question. My issue with him was any one of his trade polls, which I love that he brings up, everybody says no, and they usually do no because of the one big name that's in there. And it circulates. You know, if it's Reyes, I say no. If it's Perez, right. I'd probably still say no. People right now, Flaherty's the hot name. Flaherty's name comes in there. No. No. It's just a certain people's niche that wants these guys. And a lot of the names are, you and I aren't big in the minor league systems. And I would think that our background's probably just the same as anybody else that listens to the show or is on Twitter. But if it just hits that one name, if someone's pitching, if it's a pitching heavy fan, Weaver or Flaherty are probably off market. And if it's a hitty, if somebody thinks that Bader or Perez is going to be that next name, I think that's going to vote no. So I think that the polls are always one-sided in the Cardinals' favor because generally I think Cardinals fans overvalue those prospects. So that's kind of why he came up with that. And it was funny on the text before that he said, hey, he had said, hey, Medlock 1 came up with a suggestion on that one. And I thought, that would make a lot of sense. Well, within the first 30 minutes of that deal, you could kind of tell that all of us were probably right in the fact that it was still winning. You're just like, okay, well, just like you, the first thing you said, that's still missing a bopper. That's missing a whole lot of pieces right there. But people don't see it that way. They just hear those names and they think that it's, it's the second coming and that they're just going to, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be studs and we'd be foolish to do it. And there's proof to show that this is not necessarily the case. I looked at the MLB pipeline this week, and I usually look at it quite a bit because the top 30 are on there, and it doesn't shuffle or whatnot a whole lot. Of those 30 names, I can tell you right now, there's 1.5 players that I would not deal. Anybody else, I would. One being Reyes. I think Reyes and Martinez for years could probably make a bad offensive team. Right in a wild card / playoff hunt every year. I disagree with that. And if you get into a playoff with those two, you can probably beat a lot of teams just by those two. Perez, when you hear someone compared to Correa and you hear someone compared to Lindor and the fact that he dropped out of a possible top 5 draft pick because he tested positive for steroids, you kind of luck into that. I would have a hard time getting rid of that unless you see more of what he is available or more of what he can become. But other than that, Daniel, there's not a lot of those guys I wouldn't deal to make myself better.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I you're right. Anytime that Alex Reyes is in a part of a trade possibility, I tend to veto that because Reyes is less a prospect, more, we've seen it on the major league level. We haven't seen a lot of it, but we have seen, and then you couple that with what he can do, you're right. Putting him behind Carlos Martinez for a couple of years is going to be huge. I just don't see, and honestly, you're not going to get right now for Alex Reyes what you should because he's been out for all year with Tommy John anyway. So I think this is about as low as you could, well, not as low, but pretty low that you could sell on Alex Reyes. So there's no point in doing that. Perez, I'm like you, top 5 talent, a guy that they can't get very much. I don't know if he can be that. if he can be Carlos Correa, then yeah, he can be that impact player. But you know, whether he will be or not, that's another few years off. And so, in the right deal, yeah, maybe. But it's going to have to be a really good deal. You know, if you're looking at a guy like Yelich in Miami, who I think he's, I mean, he feels like that. I'm not completely up on his career. I know he's a good player. I need to check, pull up and see. I feel like he's probably young enough. I mean, he's age 25. He's probably under contract for still got some. He's been in the big leagues 5 years, so he's probably got two or three more years before he reaches free agency. You know, maybe a guy like that, you can give away a Perez. But, you know, definitely not for Rennell, and even for a guy like Donaldson, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. Because you look at Donaldson, to look at the other side of the equation, I mean, he's had an off year. Doesn't mean that he won't bounce back, but he's hitting .245 with 8 homers right now. We've got plenty of that. Yeah. You know, again, if he's hitting and like I said, last year he hit .284 with 37 homers. The year before that, .297, 41 homers. He's obviously got the potential and the ability to do. But he's 31, which means he's getting into the, well into his prime, probably getting close to starting downhill. The Cardinals are only going to have him for a year and a half if they make a move here anyway, for sure. I don't know. I mean, do you take that gamble on a guy? I mean, he's got a pretty good track record, but he's scuffling this year, and it doesn't seem to be injury related. I mean, do you take that gamble?
It's so tough to say. And yeah, the injury concerns are always there, especially with a former catcher like that. You know, because it seems like, I mean, some of them is freak injuries, and some of them are playing hard injuries, and those are the ones that you kind of have to look out for as well. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, just to add a selfish, out of me being selfish and to enjoy the summer, I would like to see him make a big acquisition. I'm also in favor of, I know that Toronto can inflate a lot of numbers. I don't know how many guys enjoy playing up there. I've always kind of thought that. You know, I don't know much about you know, whatever it is now, but you know, the former Sky Dome. Rogers Center. I know that there's a bunch of bombs hit. I know there's a lot of offense, and I know that they've catered to that. But the field's tough to play on. And it's you know, I don't mean this in such a bad way, but you kind of get forgotten all the way up north. And, you know, I think someone would appreciate playing in front of the St. Louis crowd. So, you know, long way around to kind of answer any question. I would probably do it, but it's probably more out of just, like I said, boredom for the summer and want them to add a bat just to see what a big bat would do.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled up his game log just to see if maybe he'd been hitting better of late, but it's actually the other way around. Over his last 18 games, he's hitting .152 with no home runs and an on-base average of .273, 19 strikeouts in that time period. In 77 at bats, or 77 plate appearance. Sorry, I just don't know. I feel like I know I'm a guy that doesn't like to make these deals a lot anyway. But I feel like if you're giving up some significant controls, some significant prospects, some significant guys that can, you want to get as close to a sure thing as you can get. And Donaldson's track record is that way, but you know, I'd like to see him hitting this year, too. And it's just, I mean, like I said, he's free-falled over the last little bit. I mean, he had his average up to, let's see, he was hitting .326 in less than a month ago. And now he's hitting .245. I mean, that's just, I mean, that's the kind of fall that he's had. And he has, doesn't look like he's hit a home run since, June 11th. It's the last time he hit a home run. So, unless there's some injury concerns that I don't know about, you know, if he's had some nagging injuries I haven't seen. Boy, you just got to hope that that's just a kind of a slump and he's going to turn it around when he gets, and, you know, moving the National League should help some. Although that's usually more for pitchers than it is for hitters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I know that, you know, they do their plenty of work. They've done some trades with Toronto. that one just, I just can't say I'm completely sold on that. And that's, you know, maybe I should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I can't sit here and say without hesitancy that it's a smart move. But, you know, like I said, I kind of want there to be a shakeup of some sort.
Yeah, and I mean, if you were telling me it would take another prospect or two, and I know it would, but they could get Manny Machado, I'd be all over that. Because Manny Machado's younger, even though he's got the same amount of control, you look, I mean, he's a Scott Boras client, maybe you can't get a contract extension done, probably can't, but at least you have a chance over a year and a half to try to. You know, he's a guy that I'm much more excited about than Donaldson, but, you know,
there's well,
no reason to think that you could get him either.
Exactly. Well, they just, you know, a little devil's advocate on this. What about less prospects but bringing on more money and getting Stanton?
And I think I've thought about that some, and I think that's very reasonable. But, you know, we just saw, like we were talking off air, we just saw Stanton for a couple games, and or for four games. And he had the big game against the Cardinals on Wednesday with two home runs. And it's obviously a big bat, 23 homers already this year. But one, you do have injury concern. And two, I don't know. I like what he brings to this team. Obviously, you got to like the power. But is he going to be that all-around hitter that everybody wants? He's hitting 270, which is better than I thought. I will say that.
Yeah.
You know, hit 240 last year. But he feels like, I mean, you kind of look, his career average is 266. You know, he has hit as high as 290. I mean, at 290 and 30 home runs, I'm much more excited than at 245, 250 and 30 home runs. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's what the big, you know, we saw last year. We saw lots of home runs last year. We didn't see a lot of key hits. And that's what I want to see whoever they bring in. I want the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, but I'd rather them the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark and hit a double with a runner on second and two outs, or hit a runner, you know, get a base hit with a runner on third and two outs, or, you know, be an all-around hitter. I don't need just power. And, you know, at least in my mind, I think of that as Stanton. Now, you know, Stanton's obviously got a little bit more to his game than I think he gets stereotyped a little bit as just power. But yeah, I mean, if it's going to cost less prospects and it's, you know, you're taking on some of that money, he's got an opt-out after 3 years. So, you know, you might not be on the hook for all of it anyway. You know, that's definitely worth considering.
Yeah, that's the interesting one to me, is just to see what happens with not even to St. Louis, but to see what happens with that contract when the ownership goes through. Because I'd love to hear, like, hey, we have to have him, or hey, that's an albatross and that's going to be one of the first things we move. You know, I would kind of like to know what's going on behind closed doors in that organization as far as Stanton goes. But yeah, you're right. You know, when you were kind of going over that just now, and I understand we're looking for an all-around hitter, would you say that Carlos Beltran was the last true superstar hitter that St. Louis has had?
Well, Matt Holliday was pretty, you know, as Mo pointed out.
That's very true.
Short memory.
I love Holliday, and I still don't give him his due.
And you know, I think some of that's because, you know, 16 was down, 15 he was hurt. I mean, you got to go back to 13 and 14 for him to really be that way. And he was.
Yeah.
He was underrated anyway. He stood in the shadow of Albert Pujols for a long time. And as soon as Pujols left, he kind of stood in the shadow of the pitching staff. So he was definitely an all-around great player that I don't think we appreciated as much. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, there hasn't been that much. I mean, you know, 15, they won 100 games, but they did it on a pitching staff. 13, they went to the World Series because of runners in scoring position. You know, just getting the timely hits, but it wasn't because anybody was just great. Yeah, I would probably say that's it. And you know, like you said, you get to that point, you look at this team, and there's a lot of interesting, good players on it, but it doesn't coalesce into this juggernaut or anything like that.
Yeah, it's it's just all, I wouldn't say falling apart, but it's just all kind of came to a head at just the wrong time. You could see the cracks at the end of 15. You know, I didn't think they were a very good team at the end of 15, but you were dealing with Peralta injury. You were dealing with several injuries. Last year, it was kind of the same situation of this year, but just not to the same level. They just never hit a high gear last year. Mm-hmm. It was weird. You know, they didn't win. What was it? They weren't 10 games over 500 the last game of the season. You know, one of those deals. They felt like they were stuck in first gear. And then the Cubs being so good last year just kind of overshadowed them. But, yeah, you just wonder when the last great team, I wouldn't even say great, last very good Cardinal team was there. And to look at that lineup compared to this lineup, to where these are a lot of complementary pieces, and they just don't have, you know, the one or two studs. I mean, we don't give, you know, Holiday is due because he did play behind some of those other guys, but, you know, it's not this lineup. I know you don't have a position to play him, but this lineup could use a Holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that pointed out Holiday stats for the Yankees this year, but, you know, he's DHing. Yeah, you know, we already have enough trouble with the outfield. You know, I don't know that he would have done quite as well in St. Louis as he was doing there. So, yeah, I think you're right. I still feel like the Cardinals are going to make that big move, whatever it may be, because I think the Cardinals have talked enough about that's what they want. They want that middle-of-the-order bat. They know they don't have a 3 or a 4 or something of that nature. I just feel like more and more they're looking at next year, but they want that control. And they'll make it now so that they, you know, maybe it's kind of like somewhat, I think what they did with Mark McGwire back, you know, 97, they were actually kind of in the race. In fact, at the time, I remember thinking if they'd made the McGwire move a little earlier, maybe they, because they were close to Houston and they kind of fell off. But they brought McGwire in for 97 and expecting to, you know, get him to resign, which they did, hoping that he would be around for the big bat for 98 and 99. Now, he obviously was. It just didn't matter because the rest of the team wasn't there. But, you know, it's kind of what they did with, you know, I mean, they've done that before. Scott Rowland came over as to finish up, to help in 2002, but to be that guy for the future. That's kind of an MO for the team, and so they're just not going to do a rental. I mean, they've already said they're not going to do a rental, and there's no reason to with this team. Because I mean, you know, looking at one of the projections had them at 19% chance to make the playoffs now, and that was before tonight's loss. You know, yeah, I wouldn't give them a 20% chance that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know that I'd give a 20% chance they'd get over 500 by the end of the year.
Yeah, the only times that the signs have pointed up like they could do that was last week when they beat Arizona and then Washington and then just couldn't build on it. You know, the two losses to Miami were just gut-wrenching. You know, you're just like, okay, one on 4th of July, you get out-pitched, that happens. Yeah. Then to come back and lose the second game, I mean, you desperately needed to win that series to me. And, you know, I don't know. I trust the organization. And I do think they are going to make a move kind of in the way that you say that. And they may even trade from a strength to grab that bat that they need, you know, I don't even know what that is. I couldn't flat tell you what the strength of this team is. But, you know, I think that they could flip somebody, maybe a Rosenthal to maybe a Rosenthal, maybe a Weaver, maybe a Flaherty, you know, something along those lines to grab that bat that's controllable for the next few years and just say, hey, if it makes us better now, that's fine. But if it makes us better next year, that's the plan. And for the same reason you do, all signs point to that. They've built up too much to where they've got money to spend. You know, B, with the TV deal, they were going to have more money to spend. They could just build up and become a powerhouse. And this, which turns into the thing that we've talked about. This may be the closest to a rebuild we ever see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, I was listening to the latest podcast from Derek Gould, and it was, they were talking about the teardown and sell, and would they ever do that? And because the impression they got, they were saying, too, no, this, you can't do that. Partly because your business plan is based on 3.4 million people coming, you know, buying tickets. If you start tearing down, even if you explain that well to people, that's going to take a hit. Now, I'm still think that St. Louis would support the team maybe better than some other rebuilds. you know, but you go from 3.4 to 2.4 million a year. That's huge on a market. And yeah, you've got the TV contract that helps base offset that a little bit, but you know, your TV deal, if I remember right, they own a part of Fox Sports Midwest now. Well, you know, it's going to be harder to sell ads. It's going to be harder to sell other things. That deal may not be as lucrative if they don't have a great product on the field. So you can't just, you know, send it all down the drain. But you're right. You can do some subtle things here and say you're building for 2018. I think that's okay. But you better come out with something good for 2018, because I think next year's huge. After a year you missed the playoffs in 16, this year where they may very well be under 500, if you don't come out in 18 and strongly contend with probably a, you know, I don't want to say remarkably different roster, but definitely that big bat we've been talking about and probably a couple other new faces between now and the beginning of the season next year, it's going to be difficult to get those tickets sold, I think.
Oh yeah, that, and you're right. I mean, that's you know, Gould had it. It was perfect. You know, early in the year, he had asked DeWitt, you know, along those lines of, hey, what is considered rebuild? And the long answer turned out to be, he goes, I care about two numbers: 1.5 million and 190 wins. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those deals, and that kind of tells you something. So if things were to go downhill, then you know, they perform like this all year and just kind of build enthusiasm and stay around 500, I think there could be some pretty wholesale changes next year. I don't think it'll be a teardown, but I think that the guys will be happy that have always said that they don't spend a lot of money, because I think that would be exactly what happens in the offseason. I think they would go and fill quite a few pieces and shuffle a lot of stuff around, and I think that the team would look quite a bit different.
Yeah. Part of me still feels like they're trying to position themselves to be ready for that big 2018 offseason with Harper, with Machado, with Donaldson, with, you know, a couple other options out there. But I don't think you can sacrifice 2018 especially to get to that. You can't say, because you can't come out and say, hey, we're going to sign Bryce Harper. I mean, even if that's your plan, even if your plan to be aggressive at that, one, we've seen what the Cardinals have done with free agency in the past. They may aggressively wind up with second place. But also, but you just can't go out and say that. I mean, that's just, you know, it's tampering, it's other things. You can't do that. But when you can't say, hey, this is our plan, you know, people look at this and say, you don't care. Why should I care? And so support dwindles. I think there is a significant, I mean, you know, Bill DeWitt told us at Blogger Day, you know, they have 22,000 season ticket holders. So, I mean, that's what? About half the stadium sold every day. That doesn't mean they're going to be there, but half the stadium sold every day. Before they even get, you know, season ticket packs, walk-up tickets, all that kind of stuff. You know, that number will shrink if the Cardinals struggle. But I bet it doesn't go under 15,000, because I think there's that desire to be at the ballpark in St. Louis.
Oh,
yeah. There's that desire to watch Cardinal baseball, whether it's good or not. I mean, you know, look at Twitter. Look at Twitter this year. Everybody's complaining about how bad the Cardinals are. Everybody's complaining about sub-500. They're complaining about Matheny. They're complaining about everything. But you know what? They know what's happening because they're watching the ballgame. You know, I mean, everybody can complain and complain and complain all they want, but they're still watching the ball game. And I think that's where we are, man. I mean, we're going to complain about stuff, and I know everybody says, oh, just don't go to the games. Oh, don't buy stuff. You know what the odds of that happening are? I mean, in St. Louis. It's just not going to happen. I mean, because there's a good chunk of people that don't sit around complaining about this team. They just want to watch baseball. And if it's good, it's good. And if, yeah, they'd like it better if it's good, and if it's not, they got a night out at the ballpark, and they're going to buy Cardinal jerseys, and they're going to buy Cardinal shirts because they're Cardinal fans. I mean, that's just the way, you know, they're not trying to stick it to ownership. They're not worried about ownership. They're worried about their entertainment value. And I think a lot of them, again, it doesn't matter what kind of baseball's on. I mean, the Cardinals could be, you know, 50 and 100 at the end, you know, getting into the last 2 weeks of the season, I'm still going to turn on the ball game, at least for part of it, you know?
I mean, that's true. Because
the game's on. You know, that's just part of it. And I think there's a lot of people like that. So, but I will say, I mean, the Cardinals can't just rest on that. They have to be able to aggressively keep that extra, you know, extra million of people coming in. And they're going to have to do something to do that. So, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it'll be the right move. I mean, but it will be a move. You know, because like you and I were talking before the show, you know, I think a lot of us have this idea that if we just had this big bat, everything would be good. That, you know, every time he comes up, he's going to get that base hit. He's going to get that home run. He's going to, you know, make this lineup better, and everything's going to be great. You know, there's a good possibility that, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of people complaining about whatever they gave up to get player X, because after he, you know, strikes out the first two times when there's runners on, you know, first and second, nobody out or whatever, he's not going to come through every time. And I think we have unrealistic expectations for players. And when they don't meet them, when they get to St. Louis, you know, then there's some backlash to that.
Yeah, and this is that this fan base is can be venomous on stuff like that. I'm sure others can too, but go back to like the Twitter guys are watching the ball game and whatnot. But I mean, you can't even throw anything out there. You just throw something out there. It's like, hey, you know, conversation starter. It gets ugly in a hurry. You know, that's just kind of how it is right now. It's pretty stressful time as a to be a Cardinal fan. I don't know how the New York teams could do it.
And I mean this is tough because I mean the Cardinals haven't been. I don't know that they were under 500 in 2008 at the All-Star break. They may have been at 2007 at the break, but 2007 is a little different. I mean, one, you're coming off a playoff, and two, you know, you lose Chris Carpenter in the very first game of the season. That throws a wrench into everything. I mean, it's, you know, that wasn't what was planned. Let's see if I can find the 2007 All-Star break. They were 40-45, which is pretty close to what the Cardinals may be this year. Let's see. Let's find 2008 real quick and see where they are, because I think those are the last two possible times to find a sub 500 team at the break. But like I said, I think that 2007 would not have been as frustrating. Let's see, 2008 they were 10 games over in 2008. So you have to go 10 years to find a team that looks like this. And there's so many other qualifiers there. I mean, if nothing else, you have that World Series buzz, kind of like the Cubs this year. You know, you can struggle, but, you know, people are going to get upset, but not as upset because you just won it the year before. And you lost Carpenter, and you had other things going there. You know, this is the team that the Cardinals designed, and it's just not doing the job.
Sure, yeah, and Mazzella made that clear. You know, I thought at Blogger Day, he was like, hey, listen, this things haven't gone right, and that seems to be the case. So, but this is the second year of it. You know, they kind of thought last year was going to be the outlier, but it just seems like this is the team who they are. Which tells me there's going to be a shakeup somewhere.
Oh, so we ought to mention, you know, before we get, we'll kind of switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about something good. Brett Cecil, as much as we gave him grief in the beginning of the season, and deservedly so, and we gave, you know, and the people were giving Mo some grief about, you know, what they did. There's no doubt. I think we're seeing the Brett Cecil that they paid for. You know, he has been. He gave up a run yesterday. We let an uninherited run score yesterday, but that was, I think, the first run he'd allowed in any form since that blow up against the Reds at the beginning of June. He's been remarkable over the last month.
Oh, absolutely! That's I was proud because his body language seemed to be pretty bad. It seems like I've said that all year, but it seems like his body language was bad. Leading up to that, like, you know, something's close. You know, Mazzella, like I said, when we interviewed him that day, he said, you know, we feel like it is. He says he's not hurt. We feel like it's people and it can get fixed. And, you know, he was kind of in the middle of fixing it right then, and he's been outstanding. You know, I know we wanted to say a positive note here, and I will for the most part, but their bullpen would be really good if it wasn't for the couple of ninth inning blowups, you know, because everybody else seems to be doing their job.
It's almost where if the Cardinals were a little bit more consistent hitting or a little bit closer, or, you know, you almost would like to see, you know, what happened. You could make the argument they should go out and get a proven top-line closer.
Yeah.
Let them be the ninth inning. Let Owen Rosenthal deal with the seventh and eighth and strengthen the bullpen and keep a hold of, you know, whatever the starting pitching is giving you. Now, as of late, the starting pitching is scuffled a little bit, and I think that eliminates that. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, if Owen Rosenthal – and Rosenthal's pitching – somewhat better. I mean, we saw a good one out of him tonight. I'm still not 100% confident in him, but, you know, I think more than O right now. If they were pitching to what, if Cecil, Rosenthal, O were pitching to what they should be, I mean, golly, I mean, you didn't only have to get six innings out of your starters, pretty much. I mean, if Sechrist was healthy and pitching well, you know, the bullpen that they designed and they thought they had could be very, very good right now, but It's just not been that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's instead of keeping leads, it's keeping it, you know, two or three run deficit. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just don't see that as much. You know, the Zach Duke thing is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That could be something to be enthused about, is how quickly he could get back. I thought about, you know, in the interview today, or it actually earlier this week, and Gersh had both said that shortstop is a spot where they could look to improve at the deadline, and made those comments. You got to think those are for defensive reasons. So I wonder if they're not going to try to go pitching defense, roll with the lineup they've got. If they can't find that big bat, if they go pitching in defense and just see if you can sneak in that way. That was one of the things, and we had talked about that before, to where it seems like, for better or worse, no matter how he does it, was they like always add somebody in the bullpen, you know, just like you were talking about the C-check, and, you know, and then, yeah, I mean, you can go down the line, like Duke last year, they always seem to get somebody, and it wouldn't surprise me if they got somebody this year, you know, wherever they are in the standings. But maybe that guy is Duke. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Duke pitched a scoreless inning in Memphis tonight. I didn't realize they'd moved him up. You got to think that he's pretty close.
Yeah.
To the point that,
yeah, I,
you know.
Yeah, I had heard that, you know, that Hrabowski had mentioned, he said it would be within a month, mm-hmm, when we see him up here. And I would think for him to blurt that out, he's either wrong and it's going to be sooner, or A, he knows that's exactly what they told him.
Well, there's no telling with Al. But, yeah.
No, that's kind of, that's why, if I said it was anybody else, I would give it more credibility.
That's true. Speaking of the bullpen, I do want to talk a little bit about a topic near and dear to my heart. Tyler Lyons, number 70, patron pitcher of the blog. I don't know when Mike Matheny decided that he was a guy he could run out there every day, but I'm not sure that that's the best use of Tyler Lyons. I looked at him, you know, he's pitched five times in July. He pitched back-to-back days at the end of June. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, seven times since June 28th. They're like two-thirds, a third, an inning here and there. But, you know, this is a guy that's used to starting. He's been the long guy. We've seen him pitch three innings at a stretch. I'm just not – I mean, maybe it's just me. I've always felt that he's more effective that way. We kind of thought in Miami he had a good inning, on the third. He gave up some runs in the fourth. He gave up runs in the sixth. He pitched tonight and did okay, except he hit a batter. You know, his stuff moves, but it feels like Matheny's trying to start to use him as that lefty specialist with Sechrist out. You know, and again, I'm not 100% sold on that.
Yeah, the way that they've handled Lyons for years, that just kind of seemed where, and I heard that before, that like he can come in and get lefties out, he can come in and throw multiple innings. You know, he could be kind of a jack of all trades type reliever. But I still feel like Matheny's not the right guy to have that type of reliever. I really like Lyons. I thought that at one point he was going to push for a starting spot. I thought that last year, and at one point I thought it this year. But, you know, I don't know. A change of scenery probably wouldn't hurt him, just to kind of find what he can do. Because I'm just not so certain that the decision makers here know what's best for him.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought that some off the off season. You know, he's a left-handed guy. He's a guy that can start. He's had some success. You know, if somebody's lengthening him out, he could be a pretty decent back of the rotation starter, I think. Maybe a guy that could go five or six innings and keep you in a ball game. And if Michael Walker had continued to struggle, and it's been nice to see Walker pitch a little bit better of late, if he had continued to struggle, I think Lyons had a shot at one of those, unless they wanted to let Seager take it. But and we'll see if this changes. Sechrist pitched, I think he's on his rehab assignment, and pitched tonight and looked good. See how long, you know, there could be some of those guys returning. And that may be an impetus to a move as well with Duke and Sechrist coming. You know, you got to find room for those guys, and maybe it is to deal off somebody like Lyons, unfortunately.
Well, and that's, I could see a deal too, just out of excess. You know, because they're just too many guys for too few spots. So that's another thing to kind of look at. And, you know, Lyons has shown he's healthy, and then when you have a back injury, you know, looks like he's healthy from the knee injury. Then, you know, I think Sechrist's back injury probably scare a lot of people off.
Yeah, probably so. And, again, we don't know when they'll be back or if they'll be back before the trading deadline, but it could be that Mo makes some moves and frees up some spots for those kind of guys. So we'll have to wait and see. Alan, we've kind of gone about what we normally go. Actually, probably shorter than we normally go. But we'd have no report from Kyle Reese tonight. Kyle has been busy re-ranking his top 30 from the beginning of the season now to mid-season. So check that out over at Redbird Daily. He was busy doing that and couldn't join us this week. But hopefully next week, if it fits with his schedule, we'll probably have a minors-heavy show, given the fact that there won't be a whole lot going on in the big league level, unless the Cardinals do something strange to us and make some deals over the All-Star break. But so, Alan, before we wrap it up, do you have any other things that we haven't touched on you might want to talk about?
I think we've covered most of it, but that's what I was going to kind of say too. Next week we'll have a lot of minor league baseball. And, you know, Kyle can kind of run with some of that, with some of the prospects we may have coming. Or, you know, the rumor mills may start spinning. You know, that's not only will it be a dead news area for us, it'll be a dead news for national markets. And that's usually when trade talk starts really heating up.
Yeah, that Wednesday and Thursday, especially since they've changed the schedule now and everybody gets Wednesday and Thursday off after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Those are some really dead days, and so there could be some interesting at least talk or made up stuff that blows up one of the two because people are bored. It's always possible as well. I just want to also remind, as we did at the beginning of the podcast, that the Greatest Cardinal Moments tournament will start at my site on Monday. I've got two matchups going there, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And then it will extend over to the Intrepid and Redbird France and Cardinals blog throughout the rest of the week. And we'll be doing this the rest of the season. So keep checking back, keep looking, and hopefully we can have some interesting discussions about the 125-year history of the Cardinals. But until next week, for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!